Hello, this is Sid and Millie Chats. I'm Sid,
I'm Millie.
and we invite you to be a fly on our wall. Today we'll be doing a little week recap of Manchester United's games. We watched the Europa League game versus Rangers, as well as the Premier League game versus Fulham. So Millie, I'm gonna pass it over to you. Why don't you give us a little overview, little recap of your thoughts on the games.
So I guess this week for Manchester United, I guess the first, let's look at the positives. We can first be really excited that Manchester United picked up 3 points in two separate competitions. So we got the win midweek against Rangers and got the win on Sunday against Fulham. So both of those results, at the very least, getting 3 points, is helpful for what the team is trying to do. So the 3 points, if nothing else, were something to celebrate for the team in both of those games.
Yeah, absolutely. That is at least a positive for the team. Were there any big standout players or anything like that in the games?
I guess like looking back at these games, the kind of key points for me that I kind of lock in on are just like the footballing side of the game for Man United right now just isn't good enough. I don't necessarily, I mean, I think we have had key players when it comes to like Bruno Fernandes, being a star as always,
Of course.
Ahmad being a key attacking player. Toby Collier has been getting some good minutes. It's always good to see like youth players, playing like with the first team and getting that opportunity.
Absolutely.
But I think as far as like good performances, I think we're still waiting on that. I mean, it's now another week going past with the manager making excuses about why we're not playing well. And I don't know. I don't know how many more times we can hear like a manager say things like that. Like, I've never heard a manager in my life call the team the worst.
He called them the worst.
He said it's like the worst Man United team in history or something like that.
The
The
manager, Emerem,
manager.
did what?
Like it's just not very
That's
in.
not like a, that's not how you want to hear a manager, like a coach of any kind, speaking about their team, honestly. Like a coach, manager, whoever, should be propping their team up as every chance that they get.
100%
Like,
propping up the
nope.
team, propping up the
Yeah.
players.
Right, no player is going to hear that and be like, yeah, this is the guy that I want to show out for and play hard for. And, like,
Exactly.
obviously they're there playing for Manchester United, but at the same time, like, they still have to play for the manager as well.
Exactly. 100%. So, and it's interesting that he's saying something like that. Like, this team won the FA Cup last season. This is a team that's won trophies in back-to-back years prior to your arrival. So this isn't just a another team in the Premier League that you're talking about here. This is again Manchester United, and again a team that's won trophies in back-to-back years before your arrival. It's almost like he's saying excuses to like
Take the
almost
heat off himself.
exactly, almost to excuse the poor performances.
Blame it on the players
Right.
to try and, take it off of himself.
Exactly, because I mean, at the end of the day, Rangers, are a team. They're a Scottish team in the Scotland League. On paper, nobody thinks of the Scottish League as a competitor to the Premier League. So at the end of the day, this game in the Europa League midweek last week, it should have been a blowout. They were at Old Trafford. They're at home in the Europa League against a team from a lower division. It should have been 4-5-0 in that game, and it should have been a walk in the park. But once again, that's not the story that we saw. It was a poor performance. The build was poor. The build was slow. Once again, methodical. We had very minimal shots on target, very minimal creative opportunities throughout the game. And that's a team from a lower division in a country that doesn't have as competitive as a league as the Premier League.
Yeah, and I feel like those are the games where you should be trying, like trying new things or like trying to almost like see what the team can do,
Right, see what you're
like
capable of. Like
right,
those are like
exactly.
statistic games typically. Like those are a game where if this was another Big Six club, you're going to see a lot of like younger players go and play, and they walk a team like that off the park, and then that would be it. The game would be over by halftime in the olden days. But now we had a situation where Rangers, a Scottish division team, was competing toe to toe with Manchester United at Old Trafford, had just as many shots on target, four saves from our keeper.
Oh my gosh.
So yeah, it was a pretty disappointing game. But I mean, at the end of the day, yes, like, were we happy with the win? Yes, a win is a win.
Right, you can't be mad at a win.
Right. But it's just like, is this the type of football that we just signed up to be watching?
Right, like you can't be mad at the win, but you can be mad at like how they got there, like how
Exactly.
they played. You
Right.
like that's not excused by the fact that they won.
Right. And the brand of football is not good enough. And I mean, like, and I guess switching from the midweek game against Rangers to this weekend game against Fulham, yesterday's game. And it's just like, once again, it's not good football. Fulham was the better team for most of the game. United had one shot on target, and it was the goal that we scored.
Oh my
A
gosh.
deflected shot was our only shot on target for 90 minutes. It's like after the game, people are, the Man United admin page, they're posting pictures of Toby Collier's clear off the line, which was an important thing. It ended up saving a point from the game. But does that not speak to how far we've fallen as a football club that we're celebrating defensive actions because we had so little to do anywhere else on the field? There were no shots, no creativity,
They had
no
to like
players dribbling.
sift through the game to see
Yeah,
what they could
to find
post
a
as a positive action.
exactly. So it's like, okay, yes, it was a key moment. Yes, that's a young player, Toby Collier. He was in the right place at the right time, read the game well, and made a brilliant clearance. But what does that say about Man United that those are the moments in games that we're celebrating as like a big victory? Like, no, we're playing against Fulham Football Club and we're below them in the Premier League table right now. The game should we should be dominating these types of teams. We should be beating them. It's actually very sad that we're going up against teams like this, Fulham, and we're concerned about if we can even beat a team in 10th place. Like, it just seems like we're just struggling across the line time and time again. There was no brand of football. There's no style of play. It was methodical. It was slow in the buildup. There's no incisiveness at all. So again, we want to reflect on what the team is missing. Well, it's very clear what the team is missing. But again, you've got a manager now who is defending what we're seeing. And quite frankly, it's not good enough. Like, yes, we got 3 points. We moved up from 12th place to 12th place. Like, it isn't a huge win. We
No,
beating 10th place team isn't a big win,
it's
and
not.
is definitely not a reason to be trying to bring Rashford's name back into the airwaves. At the end of the day, all of the attackers on the team underperformed in the game. It's just a fact. We didn't have any positive attacking actions, and that is shown when your one shot on target is taken by a center back who scored the goal. So what does that say about all of our attacking players? And now you're telling me, with our lack of attack, our lack of incisiveness, our lack of goal scoring, we still have Rashford at home on the bench.
I know,
And then you've got
please.
Ruben trying to be a smart ASS about the whole situation, saying, oh, I'll put in my 63-year-old goalkeeper coach before I put in a player that I don't back. That's what the
What
manager is saying.
about Rashford?
Yes.
What in
Can
the
you believe
world?
that? Rashford still has one of the he has still scored some of the most goals under Ruben out of anybody on the team, and he hasn't played in 5 weeks.
And
Think
he
about
scored the
that.
most
He
goals.
still is up there with the top players, like goal action since Ruben took over. That, like, Ruben needs to pick his battles right now. He
I
needs to
agree.
stop mentioning Rashford's name. Stop, don't he should he it's actually crazy he even has the confidence to mention Rashford's name whilst
He's
the
not even
team is
on the
playing
team.
terrible.
He's
I
not on
mean,
the team realistically right now.
right.
He's You
You're
said he was
mentioned,
back in training, but.
yeah, back in training, but still has not been rostered for a match. So at the end of the day, the team is playing terrible, Ruben. The team is not creating any attacking shots. They're not any creative actions, nothing. We're getting saved by pure moments of brilliance by Bruno and Ahmad. That's it. That's the only thing saving Man United right now. And people are all, backing what we're seeing, but what's the difference? I mean, with Erik ten Hag, we were complaining, oh, there's no style of football. Oh, the team looks bad every week. Oh, we're barely beating teams we should beat.
But we were at least beating teams.
And here we are in the same situation, exact
But
same
we're,
situation. No style of football, playing poorly against teams we should be beating, struggling in the Premier League, barely getting through in the Europa League, and we're still talking about a player who hasn't been ra rostered for a game in 7 weeks. It just it doesn't
It
make
doesn't make
sense. Ruben,
sense.
please work on our set pieces. Ruben, let's work on our passing in the final third. Amarin, let's work on our passing in the midfield. Ruben, let's make sure we can track players' runs from the midfield into our defensive line. Let's make sure once they break our first line of pressure, we've got another block of pressure prepared so we don't have to sit back inside of our 18. Ruben, let's make sure the team can defend some set pieces before we're talking about a player who hasn't been rostered in weeks, brother. Let's focus on where the team is going wrong right now. He's has lost the plot a little bit. Because, buddy, you're punching TVs, you're screaming at people, you're saying we're the worst team. I'll tell you what, none of those things were happening before you arrived at the club. We didn't have a manager saying that we were the worst team in history. We weren't breaking unnecessary stuff in the locker room.
I know,
So,
'cause like at least with Erik ten Hag, he was just, we need time.
calm.
We
Yeah,
just need time.
calm. That's
He trusted
composure.
and believed in the team still
Yep.
because he knows that it's not going to be like a quick, easy
Right.
fix,
Yep.
you know? And
And
then we have this new manager coming in, been here for a month, basically. I don't know how long it's been,
yeah, it's been a while now. He's
but
got over 10
a
games under
couple
his belt.
months
Yeah, a couple
and is
months now.
like already giving up, basically, on the team. Like, what did you come here
Yeah.
for?
Yeah, well, wow. Yeah, literally, what did you come here for? Because you look at Van Nistelrooy and his move, because Van Nistelrooy was obviously our interim manager for a little bit. You look at his move to Leicester City. He's earned more points as the Leicester City manager than Ruben Amorim has earned for Manchester United since Van Nistelrooy left Manchester United. So Van Nistelrooy took the same group of players that Erik ten Hag had and made them better in won 4 games immediately. Without crying about a transfer market, without crying about players not fitting the system, without crying about anything, Ruud van Nistelrooy, a manager with less experience, came into the Man United locker room and had them winning games and had them playing a recognizable brand of football. So now, how is it that Mr. Ruben Amorim, the new messiah of football, the new curator of the savior of the game, as I guess he must be the be all and end all of football, who's come from a Portuguese league and not won a major trophy yet in the Premier League or any of the major top five leagues. So he has a system that is on, he's unwilling to waver from and is unwilling to work with the group of players he has around him. Does that make any sense?
No,
It doesn't make sense.
doesn't make
If other
sense.
managers are able to come in and make a difference off day bat, he should be able to do the same thing. I'm so tired of hearing, oh, we need transfer windows. He needs time. He needs transfer window. No, he doesn't. We've got good enough players at the team.
Yeah, like let's also talk about the fact that all of these players have been playing in the Premier League for years.
Facts.
Like they have been there, and
Facts.
like there's a reason for that
Facts.
because they're amazing players. And it's like, I mean, everybody has bad games and like, you know,
Right.
ruts or whatever,
For
but
sure.
like for a manager who's never been part like a part or like in the Premier League
Ever.
to be talking
Unproven.
about
Unproven.
untested, unproven,
Yeah.
like to be talking about the players as if they're the problem
Yeah, it's just I don't know. It's weird. And then you look at the situation where it's like you've got Garnacho potentially looking for a move away. You've got obviously this whole disgusting saga against Rashford that's occurring as well. And it's just like, when did we become a club that is now against our own youth players? Is now no longer backing the products of Carrington. Like I don't understand when we hit this major flip where an unproven manager now is just the new messiah. I mean, he's getting treated like he's Sir Alex Ferguson, and I'm looking around like, what trophy have we won yet? We're halfway through his first season in charge, and we're still in the bottom half of the Premier League. And people are acting like these two wins against Fulham and Rangers have now changed the trajectory of our season. Guys, the football was terrible.
They were still playing the same
It was
style of
hard. It
football.
was hard to watch. The setup doesn't look good. The three in the back, it's not working at its current capacity. We had nothing going forward. Very little in the attack. We've got issues, Ruben. There are other things that we could be focused on right now. Apart from, trying to blacklist and smear a player's name through the mud. It's just like, come on, man. There are other priorities that you should be locked in on.
100%, something a little more productive, please. Let's
Just
focus on actually working with the players.
100% the players you have, because at the end of the day, guess what? It's the end of January. J the January transfer window is almost over. How many signings have we had? Zero. How many outgoings have we had? Zero. So where does Ruben think this magic money is going to come from to build the team? It doesn't exist. They're trying to buy a player right now for 40 million euros who plays in who in the Italian league on some small team. The team has never even sold a player for more than 15 million euros in their club history. And Man United is going to go buy this unproven player for 40 million euros. Does that
Oh
not
my
sound
gosh.
like the same mistakes we've made in the past, right? You've got people complaining about, Højlund not looking ready and complaining about Xerxes and complaining about the lack of goals. Well, okay, here we go again, about to go and buy another unproven, un-Premier League tested player from another league and expect that they're going to come into the Premier League and just be a superstar. It's unrealistic. We've already seen it not work with some of our players so far who need more time to develop and get used to the league. So why do we think bringing in another foreign investment is going to be our savior? And that's one player. Give me a
I
break,
know,
guys. Come on, one player doesn't fix all of Ruben's issues right now.
No, because with like what you were saying, him talking about he needs new players to fit his system, like getting this one new player is gonna solve all your problems.
Nope, I promise
Like,
you it won't.
come
I
on.
promise you it won't. And if you're watching the matches, you know that it's deeper than that. And if you watched Man United play Rangers, or if you watch them play against Fulham, you don't feel good about those wins. Like, yes, they are wins. Like, there is an intrinsic happiness that comes with watching your
Well, of
team win.
course.
Like, yes, you smile, you celebrate. We know that we're up 3 points. But then I think, like, the rhetoric that comes after the game, where it's, Rashford's brought up, and then Amorim makes that comment about putting in a 63-year-old coach instead of one of our all-time top goal scorers in club history. It's just like, it really sours the mood. It sours the energy towards the win, because it's just like that player wasn't even rostered. If you've got nothing else to add on this situation, how about you just shut up, Ruben? How about you just talk about the game and say, hey, Rashford wasn't rostered today, so let's not talk about him.
Honestly,
That's how you end it. If you're annoyed that they keep asking you about Rashford, that's how you
don't
get
answer the
them.
question.
Exactly.
It's not that
So it
difficult.
is honestly more disturbing that the manager keeps throwing this player under the bus, keeps saying negative things about Rashford, and keeps continuing this saga when he is the one who could very easily say to them, I don't want to talk about this. Ask me something else, or I'm not going to respond. That takes a that's 2 seconds of a maturity for Ruben to just dead this whole situation. But he is also letting his
Feeding it.
ego, letting his own pride come into the situation. And at the end of the day, They always say it. No player is bigger than the club. I can agree with that. Rashford is not bigger than the club, but that can also be said about Ruben Amorim. No manager is above the club.
Facts.
And Ruben Amorim is also not bigger than Manchester United. So you can keep your ideas and your stubbornness to not change and stick with your ideas. But at the end of the day, if you don't get United into the top half of the table, if you don't win a trophy, if you don't make changes, you will also be the next manager
Be
out the
gone.
door, like the six that have gone before you. So
Christ.
let's not pretend like you've been given the Sir Alex Ferguson tenure at the club.
No.
That's not the case. You've got a 2-year contract. Let's see how it
I
goes.
know, yeah,
Maybe
and we
don't
saw
burn
how
any bridges yet.
right. Yeah, we saw how Erik ten Hag's 2-year extension went.
Exactly. Still
So,
on the payroll, still
yeah.
getting paid. Because they
So,
couldn't afford to pay him off the 14 million, so they still got to
oh,
be paying
God.
him monthly. So, yeah, that goes to show that it don't matter how long of a contract they give you, buddy. As soon as you hit that threshold of losing, you are out
You're
the door.
gone.
And as soon as you hit that threshold of this football is terrible to watch, you'll be out the door.
Yeah.
We saw the same thing with Ten Hag. The guy had just won trophies in back-to-back seasons and got fired because the style of football wasn't good enough. Think about that. And now we're in a situation where the style of football also isn't good enough, and the trophy thing is just up in the air. So
Yeah.
let's just wait and see, because I guarantee you, if this season continues at this trajectory, we'll be grasping on celebrating those trophies just like we were under Erik ten Hag.
Right.
Because at the end of the
Taking
day,
any win we can get.
bingo, any win you can get. And that's really what it feels like. After watching both of these games, Rangers and Fulham, United felt lucky to get those wins.
Yeah.
We felt like it felt like, thank God, it was a breath of fresh air when the
Just to
games
have a
ended.
win.
Yeah,
Yeah.
because they weren't dominant performances, they weren't good games, and there are a lot of things to fix. Thank God we have Bruno Fernandes.
Yeah.
Thank God we have Ahmad, because without those two guys and their moments of brilliance, and without the save off the line, yeah, we don't win those games. So that is the same thing that was happening under Ten Hag and managers before him. Moments of individual brilliance saving the team from inevitable losses and ties.
Yeah.
So things need to get better, things need to change, and my advice to Ruben Amorim would be stop mentioning a player that isn't even rostered and
Yeah.
focus on fixing the very glaring issues that the fans are seeing week in and week out. They can chant your name at the stadium all they want to because they're excited that they're at the stadium, but the rest of us can see it from the bird's eye view. We see the holes in the midfield. We see the breakdown in defense. We see the lack of attacking prowess. We see the lack of shots on target, and we want to see our club attacking, playing attacking football. That's what inevitably needs to change. We need to see more than one shot on target in 90 minutes, Ruben. We
Honestly,
demand that as fans. I would
have
not
to.
have to. How are we going to win games with one shot on target? Please tell me. We barely did it this weekend. It's not going to be consistent. That will not be the story. We won't always get bailed out by our center back who gets a lucky deflection on his shot. Let's win games outwardly, correctly, by playing dominant, good football, and then we can then mention players by name. But until we see that style of football, let's lower the tone a little bit and back down on the arrogance. Like, the arrogance is really like astonishing for me for a manager who hasn't won a trophy in the English Premier League yet. Like, I just don't know where it comes from.
Like, how are you talking so loud with
Right.
such little,
And
little
is it and
results?
it's so funny how the difference in the media treatment, because when Eric won that second trophy, that's what he kept saying, right? Oh, well, I won my two trophies. Like, I know I've proven that I can be successful. And people were like, oh, how many more times is he going to say that? Oh, we get it. You won the two trophies. Well, okay. Now everybody is backing a manager who's got nothing to back to stand on, no resume in the Premier League to stand on, and we're in the bottom half of the table. So what's going
It
on?
won't last. It
It won't
didn't.
last.
It started like that under Ten Hag as well.
Yes. Preach.
But
Preach,
that
preach, preach.
also did not
It
last.
did not last. The fans were obsessed with Ten Hag after the first season.
Yep.
Obsessed with Ten Hag. going into the
defending
second year.
him for everything they had.
Oh, Ten Hag coached to win.
Yeah,
Okay, all
but
right.
they lost.
He coached to win, and then they wanted them out of the club. And look, Ten Hag wasn't perfect. He
Right.
made mistakes. He sent players away. We had issues with player management with his stuff too. There were mistakes made under his tenure as well.
Yeah.
But never was Ten Hag repeatedly dragging one of his players' names through the mud.
Yeah, or like even saying that the team.
He never said it was the worst team in history or
Yeah.
anything like that. So, at least back then, there was a little bit more composure coming from the managerial position, because I think that really is more of a reminiscent of Sir Alex Ferguson's reign in charge than having a manager that's just like off the rails. But I mean, Bruno had an interview afterwards in which he was kind of defending Ruben, saying like, "Oh, we're Portuguese, we get hot, and you might say some things, but at the end of the day, when you've got young players in the team, you've got youth players, you've got people in their early 20s, they don't need to be hearing from their manager, from their coach, that they're in the worst team in history."
Yeah, and I get for sure there's cultural differences, but at the same time, in a position of power like that, you shouldn't be speaking like that. You shouldn't be
Definitely not.
yelling and like going like acting on your
Punching
emotion,
TVs.
punching TVs,
Come
like
on.
regardless of your culture and
Well,
like
right.
being like him being Portuguese and hot-headed or whatever.
Yeah, it's not an
Like, that isn't an
excuse.
excuse to
No.
be acting like that and
Not
like
at all.
talking to your team like that
Definitely not. Because
ever.
what are you even trying to say about your own people's culture? Like, you
Right.
trying to say
Well,
that like
right.
Portuguese people have no control of their emotions and stuff? Like, come on,
Right.
man. Like,
Just.
Ahmad is like he is that that's we've got actual like Africans, like Caribbean people. The team has got people from all over the world on it. So to come and try and make a cultural excuse for a white guy from Port, like, come on,
Right,
guys.
yeah.
Like, it's a joke. Like, no. Like, I understand passion and stuff, but there's a difference between passion and talking crap about your own team.
Facts.
We've seen Bruno Fernandes literally in tears on the field. I don't think he came off the field and talked crap about
Started,
his own
right,
teammates. I
yeah.
mean, there's a difference between caring and saying, and like we say, like, even if you're joking or you say something out of emotion, there's truth in all of that.
Yeah.
Like, you're not just saying something that you just made up and you don't mean it. Like, no, you thought about that and it came out exactly as you meant it in that moment. And if you want to argue that he didn't mean it, well, okay, your subconscious meant it then. Like, there
Right.
is nothing that is said that isn't said with meaning or intention.
100%.
So yeah, come up with all the excuses in the book. We just want to see better football. We want to enjoy watching this team play.
Facts.
And I don't think that that's a hard ask, in terms of like the brand of football. Like, that's just an idealistic thing. Like, your players don't have the confidence to shoot right now. That
Right.
is something that as a manager, you have to instill that confidence into Bruno, into Ahmad, into Hoyland, so that when they get around the 18, they know that they are expected to be shooting. And they are expected to be creating opportunities
And they have the confidence to
to
do
do
it.
so. Exactly. But that's not what we're seeing. What we're seeing is a bunch of players getting around the 18 and looking for the next pass so that they
Right.
can pass off the responsibility to someone else, which in reality is more looks like fear,
Yeah, I
right?
was just gonna say, it's like they're scared of getting in trouble
Right.
for like missing a shot.
Afraid of scoring a couple goals and then getting blacklisted by the manager and then left out to dry by the media,
Right.
right? It's just like even the Rashford saga. It's like that started after a game where Rashford scored two goals for Ruben. So it's just
Insane.
like, what message does that send to the other attacking players who are also playing
Exactly.
poorly?
Exactly.
So yeah, so I don't know. It's been an interesting week. I think it was another like. Yeah, I mean, underperforming week of football, but I think,
Regardless of the wins, yeah.
yeah. And I mean, look, we can sit here and like like again, the win, we started on the positive of the wins. Getting 3 points in these competitions is immediately crucial for sure.
Yeah.
But that is also due to the position we are in now because of how many losses we've taken under Ruben Amorim. That's the reality of the situation. We're desperate for wins in the Premier League because we're closer to relegation than we are the top eight, right? So that's the reason why we have to celebrate this win as if it's bigger than it was.
Right.
Like, we're celebrating this win as if it wasn't just a win at Fulham.
I know, yeah.
Which is all it is. But, you know, it's not a win at Anfield. It's not a win at the Emirates. It's a win at Fulham. It's okay, but it's expected. We should be winning that game and we shouldn't be in the top half of the table. So until we get back to the top half of the table, all of this is just a grain of salt.
Yeah.
In reality.
Because, realistically, yeah.
Yeah. So let's hope let's hope that in the next like week we see better football.
I mean,
yes. Like, wins are important, and like, it's going to be important to keep winning games, and we want to see them winning games.
Of course. We want to see the players succeed. We want to see the team succeed. Right. Always. That's always our prerogative.
Right. Always. But we were promised a better brand of football.
Right.
That's the reason Erik ten Hag was fired, because the brand of football was not good enough and was not recognizable, despite the fact he had won trophies. So I think now there is an expectation of having a recognizable brand of football.
100%. We're looking for it.
We're still looking for it. It's not in the room with us yet.
It is not in the room.
But we would love for it to join us.
Honestly.
Because it's been a hard couple weeks of watching this club. And realistically, we would like to see that the pendulum swing back the other direction.
We would love that, yeah.
Because when Ruben first walked in the door, things were a lot more positive.
Mm-hmm.
And now it seems like there's a lot more drama, a lot more nonsense, a lot more cloudiness in the room with us, and a lot less emphasis on these results in the brand of football, which was all that we were supposed to see as the big difference.
Yeah.
It's what we were promised.
Oh, yeah. Promises. empty promises so far.
Yeah. So anyway, so with the last day three and a half days in the transfer window, I guess we'll see if any of Ruben's saviors can get through the door. If not, he'll have to figure out a way to work with the current group of guys that he's got now and make it to the end of the season, hopefully in the top half of the table.
Yeah, we shall see.
Yeah, we shall see. But yeah, overall, two wins, two important wins, two necessary wins. At the very least, that's what we got. And let's just keep hoping and waiting for us to see some good football. That's what we're missing right now. The wins were good, but we want to enjoy watching the games just a little bit.
Yeah, don't want to sit there sweating, stressing, seeing what is going to happen.
Yeah.
Are we going to shoot today? Feeling confident that the players are...
I want to feel confident that we'll get a shot on target in the first half. That's what I want to feel confident. I want to feel confident about shots and goals and those types of things.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so much chatter about intensity and the way we – all of the – training abilities and all this stuff. Like, bro, man, miss me with all that. I want to see some shots on target. We need to stop trying to walk the ball into the net.
I know. Please. Take the risky shot.
Yeah, 100%. So anyway, those are our thoughts on Manchester United's win against Rangers in the Europa League and Manchester United's win in the Premier League against Fulham. Both are very important. Glad that they got the wins. Mm-hmm. And let's hope that we can continue trending in the right direction in the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, fingers crossed. Thank you for tuning in, everybody. And thanks for your thoughts, Millie. Always love listening to you. But yeah, we will
see you
talk
next time.
To you all soon.
Bye-bye.
Bye.